Every single day I feel it.
Artlist IO.
Every single day I feel the pressure. Double up the work, let's make it extra. Working so my mother get a rest, yeah. Working like I never knew I'm blessed, yeah. Every single day I feel the pressure.
Jamming here with the pressure. I got the real Jason Duncan in the studio today, guys, and I'm very thankful to have you here to listen or watch, however you're consuming this content. We're going to get into it today. The real Jason Duncan is an entrepreneur, best-selling author, and TEDx speaker known for his unique approach to business success and balance. As the creator of XOS, Exeter Operating System, he empowers entrepreneurs to break free from daily operations, build assets, and lead balanced lives. Recognized by Inc. Magazine and Entrepreneur Magazine, Jason's mission goes beyond business success. He's dedicated to helping entrepreneurs become better fathers and husbands, fostering a generation that values family alongside their entrepreneurial journeys. Yo, man, welcome to the show.
Glad to be here, man.
So I got a question for you. So while I'm talking to you on the show, am I supposed to say the real Jason Duncan? Or just Jason, or what? Like, when I'm not talking about the introduction. I'm talking about, like, when we're conversing, do I say the real or
no,
the real Jason?
No, just Jason or JD would be fine, man. Either one, interchangeably.
All right, man. All right. Yeah, I don't really care what people call me either, but yeah. So, look, man, welcome to the show. I want to get into, you know, really diving into, you know, obviously what you're doing now has been built through experiences and encounters and challenges. And, you know, we'd like to dive deep into those and get, you know, specific. To help people realize that they're not the only ones going through what they're going through. And, you know, the journey to success is invisible. So we like to expose that on this show. So to start, we're going to ask the question, the famous question, what are you made of, the real Jason Duncan?
I'm made of a lot of failure, a lot of success, a lot of knowledge and learning along the way. And I think if you look really deeply, you're going to see that I'm made of the connections that I've had throughout my entire life. Every person is a link in a chain to lead me to where I am today.
Yeah. Yeah. And by the way, those watching, you can see a wall behind Jason and it kind of looks similar to the wall I have. So, that black brick wall, you know, I don't know where I think mine started. I had this thing when I first started my show, I was in my dining room and I had one of those step and repeats, and believe it or not, like, I'm crazy. Who would have thought my wife would put up with this, but I put one of those step repeats up behind me as my background. I didn't have the virtual backgrounds or anything like that. And it was a fake brick wall, black brick wall. And I can't remember who designed it. And that's why we eventually put this real brick in here with the real sign. But where did yours come from? Is that a virtual background or is that a real?
It is a virtual background. And I'm going to blow your mind. Watch this.
Let me see. Okay. There you go. Okay.
Isn't that cool?
So you got a screen too.
I've got tons of these things, man. I could change it when I do my podcast. I could put my logo up there and go to a different black wall. I could do a couch.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah. So it's, I moved to a new house in February and I had a really killer setup at my last two homes where I was up against a wall like you are, where right behind me was a wall. Well, this setup, I don't have that. So I had to think, well, what can I do? And so a green screen became the thing. And I hired this guy, like, you got to show me how to set OBS cameras up and how to do this, all this. So that's where I'm at, man. But it's kind of cool. And it looks real. Looks real.
Yeah, it does. It looks good, man. I just want to tell you that. All right. Let's get into the question, man. What are you made of?
Well, so I just answered that. So it's like, I'm made up of all the connections that have been part of my life, you know,
including
the failures. And we got off track with my green screen, man.
Yeah. I did. I got off track, man. By the way, I asked that question so many damn times. I can't even remember how many times I've asked it or when I've asked it. This show is not perfect, by the way. I'm not a perfect dude. I don't roll like that. So yeah. So connections. I want to talk about connections, man. So there's good connections. There's bad connections, or they're all good in some way, but they may not seem like good. But I want to kind of talk to you about first the connections that didn't seem good at first, or after you've exited a relationship or something and you're like, man, that was just not, you know, let's talk about that. Cause I don't think people talk enough about that. I think they talk about the connections and the mentors they've had and this and that, but what are some of the ones that come to mind and what lessons you learned with some of the relationships you may have had in the past in your journey?
Well, I was just on a podcast with a guy named Claudio Rossano, and he has a show. I think he's out of Pennsylvania, and he and I were talking. He's a baseball coach. He's a scout. He coaches professional baseball. And we were talking about baseball. I played baseball as a kid, And somehow my story came up of why I quit baseball. And I had a really bad coach my freshman year of high school. He was a jerk. He treated me like crap. He treated a lot of other players like crap. And I never really, I quit baseball after my freshman year. I played for 10 years. I quit. And I wanted to be a professional player. And this one guy kind of stood in my way. And so Claudio helped me kind of see this a different way. He said, you know, that guy probably taught you what not to do when you became a leader, a teacher, a coach yourself. Is that right? And so to that end, I do believe that that connection with a bad guy with a bad influence actually gave me something better in life, and it led me to be better. So I believe that all connections, whether we perceive them as good or bad at the time, can be for our benefit if we allow it. Napoleon Hill, huge fan of his, he said, in every adversity and every heartache, there is the seed of an equivalent or greater benefit. So I believe that no matter what happens to us, there's a seed of something good that's going to be equivalent to or greater than what we're going through.
We're talking about connections and the bad things that happen, bad connection, whatever. But Napoleon Hill said that. Funny thing is, I hadn't read that from Napoleon Hill until after I wrote my book called Rocket Fuel, Convert Setbacks, Become Unstoppable. And so this is a big theme for me in my mission, is that everything I've ever ran into during the time I'm in it, it feels like the end of the world a lot of times.
Yeah.
It was like, this person's so evil or this and that. And everything has energy in it. Everything has energy to convert. And, you know, it's our responsibility to obviously learn about that, but then take action on converting that. What is one specific thing that comes to mind, though, one specific time where you had one of your biggest lessons from, but during that time, it felt like terrible?
Well, I'm still actually on the heels of one of those times in my life right now. I had a business that I started 13 years ago that I had to shut down at the end of last year. And the 3 months leading up to the closure, and then, of course, the 3 months after the closure, though, so that 6 month time period, which we just came out of, was the most hellish experience of my life. And right now it's still difficult to look at that and know, okay, there's going to be good that comes out of this, because it's not done. There's still things are unraveling. There's still issues that are going to be dealt with. But I know and believe a couple of different things. Number one, I believe that what I said about Napoleon Hill about the seed of an equivalent or greater benefit is happening. And I believe that that is true. I don't know what that's going to look like. I just know that I'm going to be better because of this experience. The second thing I believe, as a follower of Jesus, I know 100% that God is never going to let me fall beyond a place of salvation. And I'm not talking about eternal salvation. I'm just talking about this situation. So I know that he's taking care of me. Like, he is the shepherd. I am the sheep. He's going to lead me to where I can eat, take sustenance, where I can be protected. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of the death, I don't have to fear anything, because he's with me. He's taking care of me, and he's going to lead me on the right path for his sake, not just for mine. So those two things keep me grounded and know that even though I go through hell, which I just went through, I'm okay. I'm going to be fine.
Yeah. Yeah. No doubt about it. And the thing is that imagine the person you are now compared to the person you were 13 years ago going into that business. That person may not be able to survive it. The original person probably survive it, but not nearly what you could do now. I always have this thing in business, Jason, where I talk about, what's the worst thing that can ever happen, right? And part of it is I came into this world butt naked as a baby, not knowing how to talk, not knowing how to walk, no relationships, right? No experience, and I made it. And now if I had to go back to being butt naked again, nobody visualize that, please. But we have the connections, we have the experience, we have the knowledge, the language, all the stuff and we're totally well past where we started from. And the other example I use a lot, I watched the movie Cocktail in college, and I always wanted to be Tom Cruise and go to the Caribbean and open up a bar and be bartending on the beach somewhere every day. That would wear off. But so that's kind of like my take on it. And you know, you're way better shape than you were when you first started. Would you agree?
Yeah. I mean, the real Jason Duncan didn't exist back then. You know, I was just Jason. That guy didn't know how to spell the word entrepreneur, much less be one. He didn't understand what it looked like to push through the crap that you're going to deal with. And, there are dark times for all of us. We all go through dark times, whether it's relationship issues, financial issues, health issues. We just have to know that everything's going to be all right in the end. And if it ain't all right, it ain't the end.
Yeah. What about this? What about, how about not wait until the end? What, how about wait until now? Like right now, and making, this is, by the way, I was in the mortgage business and I just got out last April. So I kind of went through this kind of same thing, 20 years in the mortgage real estate space. Now I'm not in that anymore. Right. And so it's not just the shutting the business down and lessons learned, but it's also what I'm doing every day is totally different, you know? And so I was going through this and I said, you know what? I'm going to lean into this and enjoy the suffering. And I'm going to enjoy it. Like I'm going to see, like wake up every morning, like, damn, this is awesome. Even if I'm lying to myself right now until I start to believe it. And one of my clients and friend, Dan, says this saying, hug the cactus and lean into it, you know? So has that crossed your mind yet to try to like be a freak and say, you know what? Give it to me. I want more.
Not me, man. That is not how I'm made. I'm not a sadist. I'm not interested in going through terrible times, but I do have a better perspective because I know that it's going to be fine. I'm not looking for calamity. I'm not looking for tragedy. I'm not looking for failure. But when it happens, I'm learning and being trained not to be fearful of those times, rather to accept them. Now, I did have a guy on my show. We talked about the fact that, you know, we have to, in the middle of the worst case scenario, we have to imagine it being even worse and being okay with that, because that perspective will allow us to move through what we're dealing with.
Yeah, 100%. The other thing is the perception from the outside, people looking at us on Instagram, social media, in the community, never, like, they always think it's better than it actually is. And we always feel like we're worse off than it actually is. That's a phenomenon that I recognized.
That's true.
You relate to that?
100%. I mean, look at this. We could go right now. You and I could pick up Instagram and look at the top 15 or 20 people that we follow, how many followers they got, what their life looks like, and what is our perception. If we wrote one paragraph, our perception is going to be they got it all figured out. They're wealthy. They got good relationships in their life. They're doing all the right things. Okay, but when we go to them and say, listen, one honest paragraph about your life right now, and it would not look like what we wrote. It would be completely different. Now, which one's right? Neither one. Like somewhere between those two perceptions is the reality. And that's what we as leaders, we have to understand, C-Rock. We got to know that perception is not reality. Like reality is reality. And what we perceive is not true. What is not what we perceive.
Yeah. Yeah. So without getting too, you know, anything you can't go into, what kind of business was that? And what were the problems?
So
lessons learned and all that.
Yeah. Well, so the story is this, and I've only recently begun talking about this publicly. It's not that I've been hiding it. I just thought it's not really appropriate to talk about. But so it was a lighting company. I started this lighting company and I built it up to multimillion-dollar status. We were Inc. Magazine, Entrepreneur Magazine. We're killing it. We're doing really well. And people started coming to me and they said, hey, Jason, you've done really, really well. How did you do it? So I started coaching. Now, my background, I was a pastor for 13 years. I was a school teacher for 4 years. I was an unemployed school teacher when I started that company. So people looked at that story and they're like, hey, how did you do this? How did you create a multimillion dollar company? How did you do this? So I started coaching people on the side, not even for money. I was just helping people establish, grow, scale their businesses. Well, that became what I realized I'm really actually here for. Like I'm a teacher, I'm a leader. That's what God created me to be. I need to figure out how to do that. I don't want to go back to the pulpit. I'm sure not going back to the classroom. So how can I use my gifts of teaching and leadership to be service of others? So I started a coaching company. And as that started to develop, I looked at my business saying, you know what? I'm not supposed to be running this thing day to day. Let me figure out how to get out of the weeds of operations, let somebody else run it, and I'll go do coaching. And this is a truncated version of this whole story, but the reality is I started coaching and I did something. I exited the business without selling it. And I wrote a book about that eventually called Exit Without Exiting. So I had a team running things. Well, then COVID interrupted everything because we did most of our projects in hospitals. So that obviously got screwed up for a couple of years. And so what I had to do is I had to bring in a third party who was interested in buying the business long term and taking over and moving forward. And that was the plan. And so I was going to continue down the road of my exit and I was going to let this company buy me over a period of time and they were going to run things in the meantime. Well, fast forward to the end, they mismanaged pretty much everything that could be mismanaged. There was a lot of betrayal. There was a lot of financial malfeasance. There was a lot of things that happened. Now, ultimately, I own the company And I should have known, but the reports I was getting is everything was okay. And I wasn't made aware of how bad it was until it was actually too late to save. And so I went in and tried to turn it around, and I'm like, hey, I can figure this out. Like, I didn't know crap when I started this thing. I know a right. lot more now. I could figure this out. The hole had been dug so deeply. Like this ship wasn't sinking. It was on the bottom of the ocean. And so I had to make the painful, very, very painful decision to shut the company down. There was no way to save it. So that's what I went through. And, you know, I learned a lot about betrayal. I learned a lot about leverage. I learned about trust. I learned a lot about systems and processes that should have been put in place, checks and balances. So it taught me a lot, and I will be a better coach, entrepreneur, leader, and business owner moving forward than I ever would have been without that experience.
Yeah. And by the way, like, a lot of people go through that. They feel like they're not in a position to teach anymore. Who am I to be coaching businesses and this and that? And that's totally the opposite of the truth. I mean, you know, the more we go through, the better coach we are, the better mentor we are. You know, it's some people introvert when they go through something like that. And yeah, thoughts on that?
Well, I agree, because I went through that thing. I went to one of my mentors in the middle of this, and I'm like, how can I be the guy who teaches how to exit without exiting when this colossally failed for me? You know, I did the thing, the opposite of what I'm teaching other people to do. And he had to give me perspective, because like you said, what people perceive and what we perceive, neither are the truth. There's somewhere in the middle that's true. And so what he said was, look, he said, I don't know a really successful entrepreneur who hasn't failed at least once, and most have filed bankruptcy, like, and they've come back from it. He said, we don't know where this is going, but you're on track to be one of those guys that has a colossal failure story that's going to make you better. He said, so don't look at this as a way that your clients are not going to want to trust you. They're going to want to trust you more. And in fact, he was exactly right, because as I went through this and confided in my clients and my mastermind, the guys that I lead, and I had to like come clean, like, this is what's going on, because they knew something bad was happening. And they said, well, what's going on? I had to confide. And it was like, they all went, he's human. Like, he doesn't know everything, but he can help us through our issues if he's able to go through this. So my mentor really helped me figure that out and understand from a perception issue that, like, yes, this sucks and we don't know where this is going to lead, but you're going to be fine. And you're going to actually be better because of it, even though you didn't want it to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. I know a guy that, he ended up selling his business for billions. Okay. But he had 29 failed startups, and the one that he sold for a billion right before he started, he was like 600 grand in the hole after 29 failed startups, and kept going. Just like put his head down, just keep going. And so anytime I have a business or something that doesn't work out, like, I can never go to him and complain or cry or anything like that, because he'd be like, well, you at 29 yet? You know what I mean? Like, dude, don't come. You're 15. You're halfway there. So, you know, look, man, and part of this too, the real Jason Duncan. I like calling you that better. By the way, I love that. It's branding. I'm a branding expert like that. I love it. The thing about this is like, life is made up of all different things, all different experiences, all different senses. And to the degree we have our senses and experiences, we're truly living. So like, this journey right now, this is what I was talking about before, like, you got to find a way. I'm not saying you want more failure and all that. You got to find a way to get like some kind of fulfillment out of this, because it provides a randomness to life, you know? And I think life can get boring. There's a lot of people that, you know, born with money and they get on drugs because life's so boring for them. There's no challenges or gain put in front of them anymore if they don't create one. So I want to go to this authenticity and relatability. Is what you talked about your clients started to see from you, and the power of authenticity. Like, that's my game, man. Like, I wake up every morning, like, I want people to know who I am on social media. And then when I go to meet them, I never want them to be disappointed with the person they thought I was. That's a thing for me. So as authenticity, you know, even though you may have intentionally been doing that before, but like, really elevated now.
I think there's authenticity. And then there's transparency. And I don't think they're exactly the same. I think they're related. They're cousins.
Yeah.
But I think I've always been authentic. And really, if you look at my moniker, The Real Jason Duncan, part of that is because I'm not pretending. What you see on Instagram, what you see on YouTube, what you see me in real life, The only difference is that I'm probably a little more subdued in real life contact. I'm not as out there, but you have to be when you're on camera like we are today. But I am I'm the real guy. I'm the real guy you see right now. There's not any difference. I'm not putting on airs. I'm not trying to be anything different. I am real. So I am authentic. But then the other side of that is transparency. Like, how much are you willing to lift the skirt? How much do you want to show? How much do you want to reveal? And I think I've been a guy that's played a lot of stuff close to the vest for most of my life. And for whatever reason, I don't know, maybe it's protect ego, protect pride, protect what I think people might perceive, imposter syndrome, those types of things. But through this process, I have learned to be a lot more transparent. And because I remember early on, I remember thinking, well, how do I tell this story? Because I'm a podcaster, I'm a public speaker, I'm a public figure, I'm out in the public. How do I tell this story without throwing the people under the bus that I believe caused it? How do I do this where I can be authentic and real? And so here's the true story. I sat down in my office in my studio like this and recorded the podcast to tell the story three times. All three times there were recording problems and it didn't work.
Wow.
Like, I told the whole story, 35 minutes, 40 minutes, and I'd get done. I'd go to watch it back. Didn't exist. Audio didn't work. Something was screwed up three times. Like, I'm not the true story. And at the end of the third time, I went, okay, maybe I'm not supposed to tell this story on my show. Maybe I'm just supposed to tell it on other people's show. But, you know, if you're recording doesn't end up going out there, then maybe I shouldn't be telling it at all.
We did lose the internet a couple times, so we haven't had third time yet, so we'll see. Yeah. So I saw another post that you put out there about the third mind, and I think it was a recent one actually, but you know, yep. Master talking about mastermind and all that, but like, you want to explain to us what the third mind is and what your experience is with it and how you're using it.
So the third mind is a concept that Napoleon Hill kind of made famous in the book Think and Grow Rich, but it came from Andrew Carnegie, where Andrew Carnegie was teaching Napoleon Hill about the idea of a mastermind. He said, when two or more minds come together and they're focused on the same objective, a third intangible, invisible mind is created that helps see things that couldn't otherwise be seen. And we all call that synergy now. That's what we call it. When two people get together, three people, we create synergy. So for a long time, I loved that phrase, the third mind. I love that idea. So I started hosting these intensive mastermind retreats at my cabin in the mountains a couple of years ago. And I named them the third mind because I wanted people to understand this is what happens. It's only for five entrepreneurs. I'm going to facilitate and we're going to go deep in a true mastermind experience. We're going to have an objective of helping each other with our business, whatever our biggest struggle or obstacle or opportunity is. And we're going to create an intangible, invisible third mind. And through this experience, this one weekend, you're going to accelerate your life by decades because what we're going to figure out here. So that's what it's called. And my next Third Mind event is coming up next week, not next weekend, but April. I don't know when this is going to air, but April 26th through the 28th of 2024. And I do four of these a year and I limit it to five people each. And it's a really good, intensive opportunity to get in deep on how to get through your biggest problem, issue, opportunity, or whatever.
And so what have you seen from the ones you've held so far? Like, any great stories or like experiences? Like, what, you know, would love to share that.
So the idea is when we come together, you know, these guys for the most part don't know each other. They're coming from very different parts around the country, different businesses, different industries. And they spend this intense 48 hours together over a weekend. And I connect them through a Signal app. So we've got a Signal chat group that they all stay together for the next 90 days. And part of what you walk away from the third mind is a 90-day written action plan that everybody in the room helped write, but you had to approve. So at the end of the day, when you walk away on Sunday afternoon, you have a written 90-day action plan with, you know, 10 to 15 checkboxes of things you have to do and you've agreed to do in order to get you to your ultimate objective. So over those next 90 days, they're checking in. Hey, how are you doing? How's your list? And they'll send pictures because we do it on these huge post-it notes, these big, you know, the big easels.
Yeah.
So they take it and hang it up in their office and they check them off when they get done and they'll send pictures of what they got done. We've had guys transition titles in their company, move their company corporate structure around, completely change everything. We've had people buy new businesses. We have people come up with a complete personal branding plan. We've had people come up with new sales strategies. We've had people come out with a should they or should they not buy the next building that next to them to real estate play. I mean, these are all things that have been created in a weekend that they probably would have taken a year or two to figure out on their own.
Yeah, man. I love it. I've been a part of masterminds, and some were well run, some weren't, some weren't intentional. Like there were some, but the ones that were really narrow focused and ran the right way, man. Like just, and not to mention the relationships that come out of it. You talked about connections earlier in the show, the relationships. I mean, have you seen like some great connections come from those, not just for yourself, but like, you know, from a third point of view, watching other people?
Yeah. I think it's interesting to watch these guys connect offline where they just met for 48 hours and we're at this retreat. And, you know, we got guys that come from entry level entrepreneurship status where they're just trying to figure it out, and guys that come in at nine figures and they're all together trying to figure this stuff out, and they continue to communicate. Well, hey, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? I mean, I've had a guy come who was a fireman, a paramedic, and was trying to get into the real estate business. And, you know, he was looking at this really big decision he was trying to make about his career so that he could do this other thing. And he came in fully anticipating that we were going to support the idea that he had. And we're all like, that's the dumbest thing we ever heard. Why in the world would you do that? And at first he was shocked. He's like, no, this is what I want to do. Well, he reluctantly agreed to the advice that the room gave him. And then within 2 or 3 weeks afterwards, he sent a message and a signal. He goes, guys, you're not going to believe what happened. I didn't do what you said not to do, but then this thing happened, and it wouldn't have happened had I done that. It's such a cool story to watch that stuff happen.
Yeah, man. I love that stuff, man. That, you know, and I've been in a situation where I'm building this new company and I haven't been masterminding as much. I'm actually, you know, I think there's seasons where you're learning and connecting, and then also seasons where you're executing, and you got to really grind and execute, because sometimes people get caught up too much in the learning and being mentored versus actually taking action. You know, manifestation's real. But manifestation comes from action. You have to take action, and the action comes from being committed. And then you make decision to be committed, and then you start paying attention with your intention, and that attention starts to lead your body into taking action on different things. But most people sometimes get stuck in that. Have you seen that sometimes, or have you ever been in that situation where you just felt like you weren't taking enough action?
Yeah, I think everybody, if they're honest, it's lack of activity, lack of action that leads to the failures that we experience. I'll concede that everything starts with what we think about, because what we think about, we bring about. But the magic is in the action. That's what I always tell my clients. The magic is in the action. You can sit in this webinar, you can sit in this training session, you can come to this workshop, and you can listen to all this amazing stuff, and you can write down 18 pages of notes. But if you don't do anything, if you don't take action, nothing changes. You can sit and think about it all day long, but you got to do it before it changes. And I've had clients, unfortunately, and I want to be diplomatic in how I say this, because they might hear this, but I've had clients who've come through my mastermind and have been the perpetual note takers, the perpetual sponges of information, but they never took action. And guess where they are today? Exactly where they were when they started. Now, could they look at my program and go, well, it didn't work? Sure, they could say that. But the program only works if you work.
Yeah,
that's the same thing for everybody. So where we are, I think we're in seasons of absorption, and there's seasons of squeezing it out and going out there. Just like a sponge stops working at some point. You can squeeze that sponge, drop it in the water, but you can keep squeezing. It's not going to pull any more water in until you go release it somewhere else. So where we are, we can be a sponge for a while, but it's time to go let it happen. The magic is in the
100%. Action. Love it, man. Well, where's the best place for people to go? TheRealJasonDuncan.com? Where do you want to send people?
Yeah, you can go. If you just Google The Real Jason Duncan, you're going to find me anywhere and everywhere. TheRealJasonDuncan.com is the website. I hang out most of the time on social media, either on YouTube or Instagram. I'm trying to lean heavily into YouTube this year, so I'll be putting out a lot more long-form content. I'm trying to record something new every week. But anywhere online at The Real Jason Duncan.
Love it, man. Thanks for being here, brother. Hang tight while I wrap this up. Listener, listen, I need you to subscribe, like, go share this podcast with your friends, coworkers. Make sure they know about it. I need your help promoting, because I want to continue to be on this mission to make sure you understand that you're unstoppable to live in the life of your dream. You actually are. You just don't know it, some of you. And I got to make sure that my duty is to make sure you're aware of it. I'm going to continue to promote that message. And until next time, it's your boy C-Rock signing off. With The Real Jason Duncan, from That One Studio on the What Are You Made Of show. Be That One.
Music licensing reimagined.